Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 1st of May, recording at 9:20 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. A lot of markets are closed, this being May 1st, the May Day holiday, but not us. We're closed next Monday. Now, highlights here today, the Asian stock markets. Well, we're opened. We had a bounce, good bounce in the Australian ASX 200. And I think Thailand hit a new all-time high in the ASEAN sector. The European markets were mostly closed, although the UK was open, and we were up 1.3% here today. Elsewhere in the Americas, again, a lot of closures, but Canada and Wall Street are all up a little bit, gains for around 0.5% for the Dow and the S&P, a little less for the NASDAQ, a little less for the Canadian market. Long-dated government bond prices down a little bit in the United States, firmer in Europe, down a little bit in Japan. Grains and beans, a little easier here. The U.S. dollar fractionally firmer, but it's really very quiet here overall. The dollar had dropped down against the yen, which had been fairly firm recently, dipped down to 79.64 here earlier today, but is currently trading at 80.13 as I speak. Precious metals seesawed a little bit, although spent most of the time in the minus column, and that's where they wound up. Gold's currently 1661.8. And silver down 5 cents, 30.96 and a half. And anything else of crude oil? We've got the Brent just under the 120 level. And we had the firmer WTI today. It's currently at 106. And there was some manufacturing data that came out, which they liked. The headline from Bloomberg is U.S. manufacturing unexpectedly expands at fastest pace for the year. Now, that makes it sound maybe a little bit better than it was. We still have a modest recovery, economic recovery in the States. But okay, what do we make of the markets here overall? And my view is that we're still in this corrective period, which could last for a while, but we're seeing very different results overall. And that's a healthy thing, I feel, because it's not one of those severe risk-off environments. And for instance, we've had the ASEAN stock markets, which have so often shown relative strength in overall bullish environments, and this remains a cyclical bull market in our view. But we've had two of them, the Philippines first and then Thailand, it hit new all-time highs. And Indonesia is not far off a new all-time high as well. We also have, more importantly, the very steady performance on Wall Street. And this increases the possibility that we will see the U.S. indices get more sideways activity than than downside activity. I would be a little cautious, though, about that. But a point that I've mentioned before is watch the April lows. For instance, the S&P lows were in around the, this is not going to be an exact level, but they're around the 1357, 1358 level. So they would need a decline. A decline below 1350 would be a clear breach of the April lows, and that would signal a deeper reaction and consolidation phase. Now, there's still quite a possibility that that could actually be the outcome. But today, and what we've seen so far, is that we have been seeing a consolidation in a relatively narrow, tight range, and therefore the S&P and the Nasdaq and the Dow have moved closer to their rising 200-day moving averages. So some partial mean reversion without having to fall back very sharply. And I think that we're likely to see more of this overall by the stronger stock markets. In other words, we're not going to get the type of technical bear markets that we saw, or I should say, statistical bear markets that we saw in 2011, or at least not on the known information. Now, what is that information? Well, it's still a situation where the European problems are front and center, and we've got those three elections coming up, as you know, in France. That's the really important one. But well, you could say they're all important. Then you've got Holland, and then we have Greece as well. And I think that's on the same day as the French election. And then we have Ireland's referendum coming at the end of the month. So there's a lot going on here politically, and Mr. Hollande of France, who's almost certainly going to be the winner, has put forward some bold proposals and made a lot of promises, and it'll be very, very interesting to see how quickly or how markets actually, particularly French bond yields, respond to that following next Sunday. So I think Europe definitely retains the capacity to roil markets from time to time, but not to cause the white-knuckled fear and talk of worse than 2008, which we were hearing a lot of last year. So my hunch is that this goes on for a while, and we're of course in the sell in May and go away period. That doesn't always work, but people are identifying what they see as eerie parallels with last year. That's all good stuff. And it says that people are not aggressively bullish in these markets. Now, what really looks interesting? Well, the autonomies, and I've talked about that, and Owen's talked about that so much that I don't really need to go on too long. But the good news is that at the end of March, when this consolidation started, so many of those autonomies were overextended relative to their 200-day MAs. And so they are pulling back, coming back, and getting the consolidation, which I regard as very healthy technical action overall. And some of them clearly have a way to go, such as Apple, which had the best performance of all among those autonomies, but became very overextended in the process. So it would not be surprising to see that hold up for a number of weeks and probably months. Now, also, the Asian markets, I think, are very interesting. I'll be interested to see what happens with China tomorrow. But the patterns are steadily improving. The valuations are low. China is releasing or lowering some of its reserve requirements. That's all quite positive. It's doing it on a very incremental basis, as is the policy in China. But I maintain that China could be one of the surprises here of the year, not to me and not to you, if you agree with me, but from here on, or really starting last month, China has been showing relative strength, and I think there's a real chance that it could maintain that. But just so that I don't get too far ahead of myself, let's ground this in the charts. We need to see that Shanghai A-share index break decisively up above the 2600 level, and we want to see further appreciation up out of the current trading ranges by the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index and the HSCEI Index, because the vast majority of non-Chinese U.S. citizens who are listening to me right now deal in China via Hong Kong and those two indices that I just mentioned. But they show support building. They show patterns that are capable of sustaining upside moves. If not in the next few weeks, certainly before the end of the year. And I do expect most stock markets to be higher by the end of the year than they are today. Now, that would include Europe, where we have a number of very oversold conditions overall. If you want cheap valuations, they don't come much cheaper in Europe, but we know the other problems as well. So I don't think one needs to be a hero and go charging in there. But if Europe just steadies and gets a bit of a short covering rally in here reasonably soon, that would ease some of the concerns regionally. Now, long dated government bond prices, they look overbought to me and susceptible to reactions here, but we still have the QE program, or the ECB's version of the QE program. We still have a little bit of Operation Twist, and the insight that if the U.S. economy were to weaken, which it's not doing at the moment, that the Fed would come in with more QE of its own. The Bank of England is still involved in some QE. So there's lots going on out there that's helping to support these markets in the short term. I don't like them, as you know, but if you go and short U.S. Treasuries, well, that's been an expensive undertaking in over the last year. So maybe we need to wait until there well and truly is a uptrend established in the yields, and we don't have that yet. It will come, though. This is not going Japan's route. There's the Fed and the Bank of England, for instance, really eased monetary policy sufficiently aggressively, very aggressively, unprecedentedly aggressively, to stave off the long-term deflationary pressures that have troubled Japan so much, and but at the cost of some current and particularly future inflation. That should be reflected by the gold price over the next year or more. And again, I maintain that we're approximately halfway through this corrective phase for gold. We've seen the distribution phase. That's the first half when people are taking profits and on some of their positions, and or some of the people are taking profits. And the second half of these long, on average, 18-month corrections and consolidations that we've seen, with gold following earlier accelerations, the second half is the accumulation stage in which support building is taking place, and you gradually see the development of higher reaction lows. I wouldn't be surprised if that isn't taking place right now, for gold in that sort of 1650 region, but it needs to move back above 1700 to provide a little clearer evidence of that. Breaking some short-term downtrends that you can see on the daily chart. And eventually, I think probably before year end, we're likely to see gold push back above the $1,800 level, and that's where it's seen two highs, fallen back quite sharply from those two highs. Those are beneath the August and September highs, which were just over the $1,900 range, but above the $1,800 range, that would be signaling to us that we were in the latter stages of this overall consolidation. I think it will happen this year, but meanwhile, expect a lot of ranging, and that's difficult to trade. It doesn't trouble the investors too much, particularly those who are acquiring on some of the small declines that that we do see these days. I don't think we'll get any more big declines. I think the lows are in down in the low 1500 region overall. And that's pretty much it. We don't have too much commodity price inflation right now, which is good news overall. That also suggests that global GDP growth is somewhat slower. That's no surprise after the oil price rises that we did see earlier in the year. So expect more of the same, sideways ranging, but excuse me, setbacks are buying opportunities more often than not, and we favor the autonomies. We favor now some of the resources, which I think are very cheap and starting to pick up, and I would expect those to continue to pick up in line with the anticipated recovery in China. And that's pretty much it. All the best.